Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to mortgage protection, trust Zurich. Get the advice you need from a financial broker today.
Now, confusion reigns this evening as to whether or not beleaguered UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is about to publish legislation that would allow his government to override aspects of the Northern Ireland Protocol. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, told MEPs this morning such a move would be deeply damaging. And speaking to a House of Lords committee just within the last hour, Ulster Unionist Party leader Doug Beattie appealed for compromise, warning of trouble in the months ahead.
It doesn't take much to go from a brick to a stone, and from a stone to a petrol bomb, and from a petrol bomb to a bullet, from a bullet to a coffin. It doesn't take long in Northern Ireland, and those who know Northern Ireland will know it doesn't take long. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody to say that's going to happen. All I'm saying is frustrations could boil over if we don't do something in regards to fixing the protocol.
Well, we're going to get the perspective now of a senior Labour MP who, until last year, chaired the House of Commons Brexit Committee. Hilary Benn is a vocal critic of Brexit and of the Tory government, but he says he's now come to the conclusion that it's time for the EU to offer more to the UK.
Well, we need to end up in a sensible place when it comes to checks and paperwork. UK supermarkets that send goods to their stores in Northern Ireland, I am not persuaded that you need to have export health certificates on those goods. They're only sold in Northern Ireland. What is the purpose of that? Since the existence of the protocol is to protect the integrity of the single market in the European Union. And I've said this to European colleagues that I've met. I don't think that that is needed. We need to sort out seed potatoes and customs declarations. These are relatively small things, but they require some flexibility on the part of the European Union. And they've shown that already. The example of medicines, a full application of the protocol would have meant that medicines could not be given to NHS patients in hospitals in Northern Ireland if they hadn't been produced in accordance with the rules of the single market. Mm. Well, the EU recognised that that would be an absurd situation to find themselves in, so they changed the law. And if you can show flexibility on that, you can show it on others. I think it's perfectly possible to reach agreement. But at the moment, there is this complete lack of trust on the part of the EU in the British government, because they don't trust Boris Johnson. He signed an agreement and now he's trying to renege on it. And the negotiations aren't making progress. And meanwhile, there is no government, there is no assembly in Northern Ireland. And it's really important that we get that up and running.
Yeah. And I think everyone agrees with that end goal, obviously, to get the assembly up and running. And it's how we get there. But you said something, and that has become something that we've heard quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, that some of these goods that are coming into Northern Ireland are for use and for sale in Northern Ireland only. But how do we know which imports to Northern Ireland from Great Britain will stay in Northern Ireland only?
Well, let's start with the supermarket deliveries, because they go into the shops, as to Sainsbury's in Derry and Belfast and Strabane, and they're bought in Northern Ireland. Now, yes, some people may cross the border to do their weekly shopping. The goods end up in a fridge or a freezer in Donegal. But I really don't think that anyone could point to that and say that is a risk to the integrity of the single market. In the end, this is a political problem. We have a political problem, no functioning executive or legislature. It needs a political solution. It needs goodwill on both sides. I've come to the conclusion that the EU needs to move further. They've already tabled proposals. The problem is, what Maroš Šefčovič has put forward at the moment is less than would be required if you fully applied all the checks to all goods, but it would be more than are currently being applied because we have this standoff. Mm. So since we left, the full system has not been operating. And if anyone can point to an instance in the 18 months since we left the European Union of the integrity of the single market being undermined by the grace periods, well, I'm not aware of one. And okay. I just think everybody needs to calm down and get back to the negotiating table and show willingness on both sides. And I think the government threatening to legislate to undermine and overturn an international agreement it freely entered into is fundamentally wrong and will only invite a reaction from the EU, which could result in some retaliation relating to the trade and cooperation agreement. And are we really going to be brought low when we've got a war in Ukraine by an argument over sandwiches and cuts of meat and seed potatoes and parcels.
And yet, and I can hear people who've been watching this closely from the EU side, from the Irish side, screaming at the radio saying, we're interested in the politics, but politics doesn't involve threatening, you know, unilateral action. Politics doesn't involve taking the flexibility that we've seen from the EU on medicines, for example, that you've mentioned, and then asking for more, you know? And that's what we're hearing from the EU, is that every time we move, the goalposts keep being changed and we get asked for more and more changes. So you keep talking about trust. That's not there, really, is it? And can you see why that's not there?
No, listen, I do understand when the EU sees the British government apparently threatening to tear up and amend the protocol that it signed. I think the government is wrong to do that. And it's only going to make matters worse, not better. But the thing about the protocol is it recognises that Northern Ireland is a special case. It's unique. And at the heart of the protocol was this concept of goods at risk. Goods at risk of entering the Republic, having come into Northern Ireland from Great Britain, and by definition, goods that aren't at risk of doing that. And this is a practical problem. How do you differentiate between the two? And I've given the example of supermarket deliveries because I don't think realistically that there is a risk. And in the end, what is the principle here? For me, the most important principle at the moment is that the Good Friday Agreement should be upheld and the institutions, the Assembly and the Executive should be working. And if that requires a bit more flexibility, I honestly think it's no skin off the EU's nose to show that and to be the grown-up in order to find a way through this.
That's senior British Labour Party MP Hilary Benn speaking to me a little earlier on. We're going to get some reaction now from Fine Gael TD and spokesperson on European Affairs, Neil Richmond. And you're welcome to the programme, Neil, this evening. Hilary Benn, you heard him there at the end saying it's no skin off the EU's nose to show a little bit more flexibility and to sort this out. What do you think?
Well, I think the thing is the EU has shown considerable flexibility throughout this process. So one of the biggest problems about the entire sorry Brexit mess is the British government, and particularly the Leave movement that runs this British government, still don't know what they want when they say Leave means Leave. They still don't know exactly what they want when it comes to the protocol and how things work in Northern Ireland. Many of Sir Hillary's suggestions, and I met him to discuss this only 5 weeks ago in Dublin, they do make sense. We do need the implementation committee to get down and actually work through this. And largely from the start of January to the 24th of February, they were doing that, but the UK withdrew from that. Prior to that, Lord Frost had just simply been trashing the entire process, because it's not just about the integrity of the single market, it's about what the UK is consistently threatening to do, but also what the UK has simply failed to do in terms of providing access to data, in terms of providing proper assessment and paperwork in order to make the protocol work, and in due course to make the protocol work a lot more lightly. Sir Hillary rightly says that he doesn't see necessarily any major threats at the moment. That may be the case, but we still have a situation at the moment that the UK isn't fully implementing not just the protocol, but general Brexit responsibilities, and the UK hasn't moved on to go into hard divergence. But yet just this week, we hear the British government talking about trade deals with Australia and New Zealand with lower standards that would see milk and beef products come into Northern Ireland that provide a very distinct threat to not just the market and ecosystem system in the Northern Irish agri-food economy, but all of the single market. And this is what we're talking about.
Okay, so if we could, and I take all those points that you've just made, but if we could start with some of what Hilary Benn is talking about there in terms of what the EU perhaps could do. And he's talking about supermarkets, goods that are sold into Northern Ireland for sale in supermarkets. And the point he's making is that really very little is going to happen to those goods except that people in Northern Ireland are going to buy them, and you'll have some people coming over the border perhaps and putting them in their fridges in, you know, Donegal or wherever else along the border counties. But it's not going to threaten the integrity of the single market. Do you think there's room for manoeuvre there? And if there is, should the EU look at it?
But the thing is, the EU has looked at it, and the EU undertook a very serious exploration back in September. Mara Shefcovic came to Northern Ireland, met all the supermarket chains, met all the business leaders, the producers, the farmers, and provided proposals based on what they asked for. And he put it into place. We saw no reply from the British government for 4 months, and then eventually they came with a counter paper and said reply within 72 hours or else we're going to unilaterally act through domestic law. So this comes to the crux of the matter. There may be areas that we can work going to actually hope there is, and the Irish government through within the EU has always looked for the most amount of flexibility and secured it. But it comes back to the fact that you have a British government that feels that constantly threatening to do things, threatening to break international law, is a far better discussion and negotiation tactic. And that, unfortunately, brings us to a very, very difficult place.
Yeah. And we do, sir, I think everybody accepts that it's a negotiation tactic. I mentioned at the beginning, just before we were speaking to Hilary Benn, that Doug Beattie is also the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party. Doug Beattie is speaking to a House of Lords committee this afternoon as well, and he's addressing all of these issues, and he's talking about this legislation that's been proposed by the EU, or the UK rather, as agitator legislation, which is effectively designed to get people back to the table. A negotiating tactic, effectively, is what he's saying it is. But he's saying the important thing is to get people back to the table, or he says there may be a return to violence.
Well, just today we see two loyalists arrested on suspicion of planting a bomb threatening our own foreign minister. So we know that things are difficult, and we know that the Irish government and our European partners have been consistently conscious of that and tried to work to settle things down. But when he talks about agitator legislation that tries to get people back to the negotiation table, it's legislation, and this isn't the first time this has happened. We've seen it with the internal market bill. We've seen it with the distinct phrase of we're only going to break international law in a limited and specific way. This isn't the way to carry on discussions or negotiations, and it comes back to the facts there that this British government doesn't know what it wants, and it's using the people of Northern Ireland as a pawn in an internal political game and sadly to drive through what is partisan politics in Westminster, nowhere else.
Yeah, and again, I think actually Hilary Benn would agree with that analysis, but he's saying you sort of have to accept that the British government is doing what the British government is doing and focus on the principle of the Good Friday Agreement and the people of Northern Ireland and see what compromises the EU could make in the interests of the people of Northern Ireland. Ireland, despite the actions of the British government. Do you think the EU is doing that, or is it so put off, and perhaps understandably, by the negotiating tactics of the UK that it's losing sight of compromises that it perhaps could be making that it's not doing?
Of course the EU is compromising. Of course the EU has at its forefront, and we heard it only this morning in the European Parliament, in the European Parliament President's response to the Taoiseach. The EU as a whole, all member states, all institutions put the sanctity of the Good Friday Agreement and stability at the forefront of their decision and discussions on Brexit, and everything goes on it. And what we have seen from the EU is the legislating, the first time ever legislating to ensure access of medicines from Northern from GB into Northern Ireland. We've also seen them unilaterally move to ensure that 85% of checks aren't required. At the moment, only 3% of goods are checked. But still, at the exact same time, we've seen nothing from the British government bar threats to break international law.
We look at the rumoured proposals,
Sarah, that are coming out, that are rumoured to be coming out tomorrow, and we look at Tony Connolly's report on it, and we're back to the, you know, alternative arrangements, technological solutions, in market surveillance. You know, this is what we're dealing with. We need to see the British government take its responsibilities. We have
I take all those points. And again, to what Hilary Benn is saying, he's not proposing what the British government is proposing. He's not in favour of this legislation. But your last thoughts on this. What he's saying is what's in place at the moment under the grace period is, what the EU is proposing at the moment is that the rules that will be applied will be more strenuous than what has been in place for the last 18 months under the grace period. And he's saying nothing has happened to the single market under the grace period for the last 18 months. So could the EU not move to have what's happening at the moment, what's in situ at the moment, to have that as the status quo?
No, because the need for checks and any need for checks is determined by the policy direction of the British government. The harder the Brexit they seek, the more divergence they seek, the more pressure the protocol. The EU can only do so much, but you have to negotiate with a willing partner, and sadly, we do not have one at this time.
Why can't we move to put in place what's happening at the moment, which doesn't appear to have caused any problems in the last 18 months? Why can't we move to have that as a permanent situation?
Because it's not sustainable, because as I said, there has to be checks somewhere, because what if the British government changes legislation? What if there's a trade deal signed with Australia? What happens the first time British meat that is of a lower standard doesn't just go into someone's kitchen table from Strabane into Lifford, but actually ends up further through the entire food chain? These are very serious issues that we've been talking about for over 6 years, and it's about time the British government actually took them seriously.
All right, really interesting to speak to you. Thank you very much for joining us. That is Fine Gael TD Neil Richmond. Let us know what you think to 51551.